Has somebody been so unkind to you? Some word spoken that pierces you through and through. Well, think how he was beguiled, spat upon and reviled. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. You know of the treatment the Jews and the Romans gave Jesus. But an evil man, Doeg, also spoke evil words against David and the priests who helped him. And the priests paid for it with their lives. This is the story of Psalm 52. If you open your Bibles and look at Psalm 52, just before verse 1, you will have what is known as the preface. We believe that the prefaces that do appear with some of the Psalms are very ancient in origin and shed light on the history or something about the Psalm. Here this preface says, to the chief musician, a contemplation of David, when Doeg the Edomite went and told Saul and said to him, David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. 1 Samuel chapters 21 and 22 show what moved David to write Psalm 52. King Saul had set his heart on destroying David. Therefore, David, along with the men who supported him, fled from Jerusalem, went a short ways north to a city called Nob, where the tabernacle and the priests were located. David went there and he needed food, and Ahimelech provided it. Then 1 Samuel 21:7 says, now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chief of the herdsmen who belonged to Saul. Doeg witnessed Ahimelech receive David gracefully, provide him with food, and with the sword of Goliath. From there, David went into Philistine country. And from there, Doeg went to Gibeah, where Saul and his army were camped. And then Doeg reported what he saw, verses 9 and 10 of 1 Samuel 22. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, who was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse going to Nob to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, gave him provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. So Saul called for the priest and all the other priests who served with him. And after questioning Ahimelech, Saul decided that they all needed to be killed. So he ordered his young men to kill them, but they refused to lift their swords against the priests of God. So he turned to Doeg, and then verses 18 and 19 of 1 Samuel 22 say this, and the king said to Doeg, you turn and kill the priests. So Doeg the Edomite turned and struck the priest and killed on that day 85 men who wore a linen ephod. Also Nob, the city of the priests, he struck with the edge of the sword. Both men and women, children and nursing infant, oxen and donkeys and sheep, with the edge of the sword. One man managed to escape, and he went to David. Verses 20 through 23. Now one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the Lord's priests. So David said to Abiathar, I knew that day when Doeg, the Edomite, was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have caused the death of all the persons of your father's house. Stay with me, do not fear. For he who seeks my life seeks your life. But with me you shall be safe. These events so moved David that as a poet he could not remain silent about the evil of Doeg. And so the Holy Spirit in wisdom saw that what David wrote we needed to hear. And thus Psalm 52 has been preserved in the Bible for our benefit. And so Psalm 52 goes like this, verse 1. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty one, mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Why does the mighty man like Doeg, he was in a mighty position, he was a man of power and authority, why does he boast of his evil? Well, for one thing, he thinks he's undetected. If you're undetected, you believe you'll get away with what you've done. And secondly, he thought he would prevail. By evil, evil men and women believe they'll last. They'll become powerful. They'll be on top. Remember, when you hear someone boasting, especially in the evil he has done, an empty barrel makes the loudest noise. When the righteous man sins, he remains quiet in shame and guilt, except he should confess to God, but he doesn't go around boasting, here's what I did today. He doesn't come into the worship assembly and announce, here's how I hurt someone. He doesn't call up his Christian friends and make the same announcement. He hates what he has done, and he probably hates himself for having done it. So the evil man boasts in his wickedness, believing it makes him mighty, but David said, the goodness of God continues forever. Therefore, let the mighty man boast in his evil. We will boast in the goodness of God, which will outlast the evil of men. Their boasting in evil is vain. It's fruitless. And they'll eventually be silenced. In verses 2 through 4, David went on, speaking to the evil mighty man. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. Selah. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. The mighty evil man uses his tongue to devise evil, speaking falsehood about people. And his tongue cuts like a razor. And he is proud of it. He cuts people with words, speaking enough truth to bring people in, but he gives it just a little slant. Oh, an ever so little slant, or just a slight twist. Or he mixes in just a little bit, maybe, of his own opinion. But now he destroys someone's reputation, like Doeg did with Ahimelech. And the poor man lost his life because of it. What Doeg said about Ahimelech was true. But Doeg made it sound like Ahimelech was a part of a conspiracy against King Saul. And that was not true. Ahimelech supported both David and Saul. David because he was righteous, and Saul because he was the king of Israel. So while that person makes it appear that he loves good, which is part of his deceit, oh, brethren, we need to see that point. Sometimes we want evil men just to look evil. But David said he works deceitfully with his words. So he makes them sound good. They sound holy. They sound truthful. But they're really not. Because they destroy people. Sticks and stones can never harm... What is that? Sticks and stones may harm me, but words can never harm me, or something like that. Oh, man. Someone who said that hasn't had sharp words spoken against them yet. I know that's something that kids say. You don't hear adults saying that. And I suppose that's a good way of saying to somebody who's trying to hurt you, like, you're not affecting me. But words can truly hurt people. Therefore, Doeg and others like him, they lie and do not speak righteousness. Knowing that someone within your camp would lie hurts deeply and is unbelievable. But it happens. It happened to David with Doeg, and it happened to Jesus with Judas. Oh, but it shouldn't happen to me. Such a person devours others with words, using deceit to cause others to side with the speaker and against the one that he's speaking about, trying to gain a following. Now at this point, at the end of verse 3, David said, Selah. It's a Hebrew word. We're really not sure of its meaning, though we think it means a pause. And I think it's good for us to pause and think about the power of our words. You know, even if what we're speaking is the truth, does that mean we have to say it? I'm not talking about the truth of God's word, but the truth about someone. Do we always have to speak it? We need to consider what our words might do, as in the case that I've just shown you. So, while that evil person devours people with words, but then God speaks. And the word of God is sharper than any razor that the wicked uses, cutting down criminals, gossipers, false witnesses, talebearers, and all the enemies of righteous men and women. David continued in verse 5. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living. Selah. Again, speaking to the mighty man who boasts in his evil. But when I read that, I thought to myself, praise the Lord, God notices. God notices when people speak against you. God notices when people lie about you or false witness about you. When they try to hurt you with their words, He notices. And He will do something about it. While the evil man or woman seeks to destroy, David said, God shall destroy that person forever, because God knows what goes on and He will use justice. He will take away that person, David said, removing him from the land, pulling him out of his dwelling place like a gardener pulls up a weed. The weed thought he was so secure and he was growing and spreading, and up comes the gardener and rips that thing out, and so God shall do with the evil. Selah. Just think on that. Evil people think they shall remain like a well-rooted tree, but they forget there's a God in heaven who planted the trees, who made the trees and planted them. And he can then uproot them. And so it is with people. He created us and planted us in all our different situations of life. And if he's not pleased with what we're doing, he can pull us out. And just like the tree, cast us into the fire. The righteous, on the other hand, they see all these things and they learn. Verses 6 and 7. The righteous also shall see and fear, and shall laugh at him, saying, here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in wickedness. The righteous learn from these things. They see God remove the troublemakers, and it puts fear into their hearts, into the hearts of the righteous. However, David said, the righteous have the last laugh. They see the end of the man or the woman who did not make God his strength, but who trusted in his riches or in his wickedness. And they see what happens. That doesn't work. You and I see that all the time, don't we? I mean, just look around town or look in the news, the national or international news. And you see people who don't trust God, they trust in their riches or they trust in their own strength, and what happens to them? They're gone. Of course, well, someone may say, well, everyone's gone eventually. But these people go down in shame. They trusted in their riches and their riches didn't help them. But David now contrasts himself with these people. But I am like a green olive tree, verse 8, in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. That's what David boasts in. The evil man's boasting in the wickedness he's performed, in his criminal activity. And David's boasting too, but in nothing about himself. Excuse me. He's trusting in God. And in God's mercy, because David knows he's not free from sin in his own life. So he knows he needs the mercy of God. And he's ashamed of it. Which is why he boasts in God's mercy, because he knows he needs it. While you saw what happened to the evil tongue, the righteous and the victim of false witnessing flourish like a green olive tree in the house of God. The mighty people of earth, the evolutionary scientists, the secularists, the covetous, the God-haters, the tale-bearers, and many others believe that they're rooted in their evil. But those who trust in the Lord, they are the ones who are like the green olive tree, flourishing, producing fruit, providing shade, giving wood, and being all the good things for the world that it needs to be, the green olive tree. And the people of God are the same way. I'm not here to hurt people, at least not intentionally. I mean, we all hurt people at some time or another. And if we do it intentionally, hopefully we repent of it. But that's not our lives. That's not how we generally live. How we generally live is we want to be a blessing. And so God makes us like the green olive tree where we flourish. Rather than trusting in riches and wickedness, the righteous man trusts in God, in the mercy of God forever and ever. And then David ended the psalm in verse 9 with these words. Speaking now to God. He's been speaking to the evil man, but he's been taken away. Now he says, I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. Having suffered at the tongue of the tale bearer, David then used his tongue to praise God for what he did to the evildoer. David was not silent praising God. But he wanted to let all the saints know about it. And the Holy Spirit did too. That's why Psalm 52 is in the Bible. And so in the presence of the saints, David would praise God. He waited on God's name because he says God's name is good forever. Now it's been roughly 3,000 years since David has written these words. And the goodness of the name of God, His mercy, and all the good things that David said about God in this psalm have not diminished in the slightest, brethren. Not at all. In fact, we might even be able to argue that it's even increased. Because since the time of David, God has revealed more of His truth. He sent Jesus Christ. He's established the kingdom of God and so on. If anything, God's goodness among men increases. Trust in that, not in any form of evil. So watch two things. Watch your tongue. Do that this week, will you? Watch your tongue. Now, I do this frequently with myself. And notice, am I praising God or am I hurting people? And sometimes I find, you know what? I've been hurting people and I need to repent of that. I need to get back to speaking about God and not tearing people down. I'm here for praising God, not for tearing people down. Listen to yourself. And just see whether you do that this week. And secondly, watch your heart. In what do you trust? You know, the government has its hand in the lives of Americans more than ever before. More of us, and I'm including Don Rule, are dependent upon the government than any past generation ever has been. I am because of my medical insurance. I'm uninsurable. And so the state of Oregon has set up a plan called Oregon Medical Insurance Pool, which, praise God, Don Michael told me about a long time ago. And so I got into that. And my medications are real expensive. One of my medications alone comes in a bottle that big is over $1,000 a month. So I'm thankful for the government. But is that what I'm trusting in? If the state of Oregon dropped OMIP, would I be left hanging? Well, I've been thinking about that a lot lately. You know, especially as our economy goes through some rough times. And I've told myself, you know what, Brother Don? Who gave you the government? Who created your body? Who allowed your mother to give you a kidney? Who allowed the pharmaceutical companies and the pharmacists and everyone else to create these medicines? And I just go right on down the list. Behind it all is God. Oregon can disappear. The United States can disappear. And I know eventually I'll disappear too. But I know God's the one who's taking care of me. He always has and He always will. So I don't want you to think that as I'm saying, you know, watch this and watch that, you know, you people. I'm not trying to say that self-righteously as though I've perfected everything and you wicked people here, you need to figure out how to live right. I'm not saying that at all. Because I also have to watch my tongue and I have to watch my heart. What do I say and what do I trust? I don't want to be like Doug. And I don't want you to be like Doug. That's why I'm preaching on this tonight. I want to be like David, and I want you to be like David. May God help every one of us. Can we bless you tonight? Praise God every day of your life, and He'll take care of you. Can we help you praise Him tonight? If so, come forward now as we stand and sing.